Be reading out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning, especially our visitors. And I want to thank Brother Gary for that reading. And if you've been paying attention and were paying attention to what Gary read, you probably know the next one together, or that we should do for one another that I've been focusing on. I promise there's only one more of these lessons, but I think they've been good. I've gotten some feedback from people, so I hope they've been received well. But these are passages that focus on how we should be interacting with each other and treating one another, and especially in the family of Christ, especially here at West Carrollton. And so Gary's read for us another one of these one another passages that is found here in 1 Peter 5. Now, you got to look at how Peter frames this, especially in verse 5. He says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. That's how it's stated in the English Standard. And so, putting the clothes on will cover us, but with humility, we need to have an understanding of what humility is. There are a lot of false ideas about what humility is. Humility is not self-degradation. Humility is not putting yourself down. Thinking badly about yourself is not humility. Putting yourself down and thinking about yourself definitely is not humility. Because all those things are focused on you, and you're paying attention to yourself. And really, when it comes right down to it, humility is not thinking about yourself in any way, shape, or form. Humility is thinking about others and what you can do about putting them ahead of yourself. And in Philippians, Paul gives us a biblical example or explanation regarding humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul wrote, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So I think that matches pretty much the statement that I made. It's looking outwardly, not putting yourself first, but looking regarding the interest of others. It's counting others as being more significant as yourself, and looking out not for your own, but for others' interest. And just going to take aside, I mean, that's hard to do. I don't care about today's society. I'm talking about all through human history. That's hard to not put yourself first. It's hard to not, to put others in front of yourself. So as we're going through this morning, understand that this is not an easy thing to do. It's against human nature. It has nothing to do with society or today. It's human nature. Self-preservation is very strong. And usually that involves looking out for yourself. So as we go through this morning, just realize this is not something that we can just say, okay, I'm going to start being humble. It's something that you really have to focus on. It's something you really have to concentrate and dedicate yourself to doing that. So as we go through this morning, let's just think about that. Humility does nothing from selfishness or arrogance. And once again, that is exactly how most people live their lives. And another way of looking at it means not drawing attention to yourself or pushing to take the credit for things that have been done that you think that you could put yourself in that limelight. It is not motivated in that way at all, and it's something that we have to work on. We're not desiring any attention if that's how we are looking. So now we need to notice that Peter doesn't merely say to be humble, but he tells us that we are to clothe ourselves in it, meaning it should cover us, it should drape over us, it should be something that it's a characteristic that as people see us, they notice it. John commented when he walked up to the parking lot and he got out of his car, he has a red tie on with a blue shirt. And now he later told me he's doing an homage to Domino's, his employer. But I said, I noticed that because that is so un-John-like. You notice what people wear. And that's what people should notice about us. Our humility should be what people notice because just like I noticed John's tie, it was unusual for John. Humility is unusual among people. And so it should be something that people are noticing about us. We talked just this past Wednesday night, and believe me, this was already planned. This wasn't the reason, but we talked a lot, John 13, on Wednesday night, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We're told that he removed his clothing, he wrapped a towel around himself, and he then washed the disciples' feet. Wearing a towel about yourself leaves yourself a little vulnerable. It gives you no pretense on that you might be something greater than that. He wore the clothing of someone who was a servant. And so he wore the clothing in that situation that displayed humility, right? I mean, displayed humility. And if we're doing it right, people will look at us and notice that. And they'll notice that we're not thinking much of ourselves or that we're not always trying to grab the attention and put it on ourselves. People instead should look at us and be able to see us drawing attention to the Lord and drawing the attention to spiritual matters. And so we have to ask ourselves, why is it so important that we make this change from selfishness to humility? Well, Peter gives us that reason in the rest of verse 5. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter here is paraphrasing Proverbs 3, verse 34, and really should give us our greatest motivation for practicing humility toward one another. It's because if you're proud, God opposes you. It's not a good place to be if you're in opposition to the Father, and that's exactly what Peter is saying here. God is going to stand against a person who does not practice humility, and he'll resist and oppose that person. And that should be a terribly frightening thought, to be in opposition to the Lord. And so if we're not wearing humility, if we're not wearing it like clothing that's noticeable by people, then God will stand against us. And to push it one further, and just to flip that around, God will give grace to those who are humble. I know what side I'd rather be on. And so if we're not working on being humble, God will not give us his grace. And a lack of humility sets a person against the Lord. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 says, but this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. This is the very same sentiment that Peter wrote in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. God is going to go favor to the person who is humble. And he's going to look at the person who is broken in spirit, broken-hearted, and trembles at God's word. This should be a message that's just ringing loudly, big red flashing lights. This is what we need to work towards. Thinking about self will set us against the Lord. Thinking about others will receive that grace. Because pride is in opposition to God. And so, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, we must have a particular response. And so, as we look at verse 6 of 1 Peter 5, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This is an action we must take. We have to humble ourselves, and in doing so, we are bowing to God's mighty hand. The foundation of humility is a dependent attitude toward God and his ability to rescue us when we need saving, and it's humbling ourselves is submitting ourselves to the will of God. Once again, human nature is not to do the things that the Lord would want us to do, and so we have to take off our pride, take off our arrogance, take off our selfishness in order to do his will and to submit to his will. Pride is the reason why we are selfish. Pride is why we are self-centered in that regard, and it's the reason why people resist God, and so we can't have that be a part of us. Pride opposes and dishonors God and his might, and so this is what we have to do. We have to submit to him in order to continue to be humble. In Philippians 2, verse 8, Paul continues with that thought. He says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Of course, he's talking about the Savior here. And so we have to ask ourselves, how was it that Jesus humbled himself? And it's by being obedient to the will of God. He was obedient to death. And so he yielded his will of self-preservation. He yielded his will for self-glorification. And he obediently followed God's will. And that will was for him to come to this earth and live and to eventually die on the cross. And so humility is dying to self and self-will. It's a subjugation of our will for the exalting of God's, for our will, and substituting God's will for our own. And so it's elevating what other people want and need over what I want and need. That statement is so diametrically opposed to most people that most people would look at that and say, I'm not doing that. And that's why it's difficult. But by humbling ourselves, there is joy and there is a reward that is waiting for us. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. And in Philippians 2, verse 9, Paul continues by saying that because of this, God has highly exalted him. And he has bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Now, we're never going to attain that title or that name, but we can receive the reward that we are promised by doing that. And so as we look back at 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, Peter, at the end of that, says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. So we may not have a name above other names, but we will be exalted by doing that. If we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, we can have this. And so Jesus clothed himself with humility and yielded his will to God's will and yielded his life instead of trying to stay alive. At the proper time, God exalted him. And so it goes to say that if we clothe ourselves in humility, and if we exchange our will for his will, and if we live a faithful life until death, at that proper time, we also will be exalted. That will be awaiting us. And so we have to humble ourselves, but we can look to Jesus in the example of how he humbled himself while on the earth, and we can attain that glory that is awaiting us. But as we look further into verse 7 of 1 Peter 5, Peter continues by saying, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Peter shows us what humbling ourselves looks like in our daily living. Humility looks like throwing our cares and anxieties toward God. When something's not easy, you're going to have struggles. When something's not easy, you're going to be downtrodden, or, you know, it's going to affect you. And so when that happens, when you're doing what you need to be doing by substituting his will for your will, and you have these rough moments, he says, I'm here for you. You can bring them to me. You can give me your cares and your anxieties, and the Lord will take care of them. And so by doing this, in a just a weird way. It's also humility to do that. It's humble because when you are bringing your cares to someone else, you're trusting them and you're turning yourself over to that person. You're saying, I don't have power over this situation. You do, and I need your help. Humility says, I can't do this alone. Humility says, I need you. Need the Father. Pride doesn't do this. Pride depends on yourself, and pride is an independent characteristic. You don't go to anyone when you need help. You're going to do it yourself. Just like that stereotypical father back before GPS wouldn't stop and ask for directions. He wasn't going to get help from anybody. That's pride. And that's what we can't have in our lives. Humility means I'm not going to take everything on myself, but I'm going to instead. Pardon me. But instead, I'm going to look towards God. And so we have to know, how are we going to throw our anxieties at God? Well, how we do that and how we take our concerns to Him is through prayer. We have to move them off of ourselves and throw them, cast them on the Lord. And a praying life is another characteristic of a humble life. Pride doesn't pray. Pride says, I can do it. I don't need anyone else. But prayer says, I cannot do it, but God can. And so we need to give our anxieties to Him. Throw them on Him, for this is just another way that we can show our humility. Now, why should we do this? Well, Peter already told us earlier that we need to do it. But he says it because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. But in verse 7, Peter gives us another reason why we should cast our anxieties on Him. And at the end of verse 7, it simply says, because He cares for you. God has an active concern for those that are faithfully doing His will. God is not indifferent to the lives of those that are trying to follow Him. He's not indifferent to our sufferings. He is not indifferent to our trials. He's not indifferent to the struggles and the pains that we have in life. And so by praying and casting our anxieties on Him, we are recognizing that the reason why we can do that is because God cares for us. And He's promised that He will take care of us. In Matthew chapter 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a tremendous example and a way of thinking about how it is that the Lord loves us. Matthew chapter 6, 26 through 30. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? We can humble ourselves. We can be willing to do all that it takes to be humble because He loves us and He cares for us and He will exalt us at the proper time. So looking back on just my message this morning is that we have to work at clothing ourselves in a humble spirit, and that has to be directed towards one another. It's an important aspect of our unity that we are called to have. Think about ourselves and think about others and not ourselves. We recognize that challenge there. Submit to the will of God, not to our own will. Looking out for the best interests of others, and then cast your cares and anxieties upon the Lord, because He certainly does care for all of us. Now, I've made a tremendous error. I forgot to look. Who? Craig Meyer, would you mind leading us in a closing prayer and dismiss us to our class?